From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you live in northern Illinois, around the Putnam County area, you might have recently been woken up by an earthquake. Did you feel it? The quake had a magnitude of 3.6, which means it was a level 3 light quake on the U.S. Geological Survey's Trembler Intensity Scale. As it turns out, that was not the first earthquake to strike Illinois this year. In just the past 2 months, there have been two other quakes here, not that many people noticed. Illinois as a whole rarely gets significant earthquakes, but as this shows, we're not immune either. Historically, there have been a handful of earthquakes that have caused significant damage. And that's why today, on The 21st Show, we're exploring the significance of earthquakes in Illinois and what you need to know about them. Joining us now to talk through this is Robert Bauer, Principal Research Scientist of Engineering Geology at the Illinois State Geological Survey. Bob, welcome to The 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Listeners, you can join our conversation at any time, 800-222-9455. We'll be talking about this for about the next 15 minutes or so. Have you experienced any earthquakes in Illinois before? I know I felt one back around 2007, 2008, shook the pictures on the wall. If you have any questions for our guests, the number 800-222-9455. All right, Bob, maybe we can just start with some basics. What exactly is an earthquake?
I like to tell people to put their hands together as you're praying and push them really hard to get against each other, and now try to slide them apart, slide them, and then they would also just jump right away, and that's essentially an earthquake. And what we have in Illinois, we're in the center of the tectonic plate. We're not like California, where that's really two plates sliding past each other. So we have some cracks or faults deep down in the basement of Illinois. And the basement is mafic volcanic type material. That's where our earthquakes are located. And if we have a vertical fault plane like that, that's oriented closer to east-west, because that east-west is how we're being compressed in an east-west direction. And if something that exceeds the friction on that base, we get a small earthquake take place.
So how common is that in Illinois? You say it's deep down, the hands are pressing together, the earth is pressing on these plates. It's not something we feel a lot of, right?
Well, there have been 8 this year, and people have felt all those 8, and they've been from about a magnitude 2.1 to that 3.6 in November. And the year before, there were 8 again, but only about 6 people felt. 6 of those were felt. It varies year to year. But we've had, that we know of, something on the order of about 650 in the state since 1795.
So it's more common, or is it more common? Let me ask that these, what magnitude are the earthquakes here? Are most of them not felt or just barely noticed and not that big a deal?
A good amount of them are felt. People start to feel an earthquake when it's about a 2.1 or 2.2 and they're sitting still or standing or not in motion. And about 90% of our events are in the southern third of the state, and about 6 or 7% in the northern part, and we're the central part of the state is more of the quiet location.
Interesting. Maybe the ones in the north just seem to get more attention because there's more people and more media up there as well. So let's you mentioned that 90% are in the southern part of the state. What is happening there? What is the seismic zone we're talking about?
Well, what I say is we're not like California. Everybody asks for a map of faults. Our mapped faults are up in the layers of sedimentary rocks, where we have our gravel and limestone and coal, and where the oil is located. And we map faults through that. But that's not where the earthquakes are lining up along any of those faults. The earthquakes, again, are down deep in this crystalline basement. So we don't really have images of that in many places. It's incredibly expensive to run seismic trucks through areas to see that deep down and in that amount of detail.
Talk about the new Madrid seismic zone. What does that mean? That's something you hear coming up every now and then.
Yes. That's three faults that we see today because there are about 200 to 300 small events every year along those faults. So they kind of light up or illuminate where the faults are located. And there's three segments to it. The northern one starts at the southern tip of Illinois going down to New Madrid, Missouri. And then so that's from the northeast to the southwest. And if we slide over a little bit towards the east and start in the northwest corner of Tennessee and go southwest down to Marktree, Arkansas, that's the southern one. And right going really from the northwest to the southeast is one that cuts, that those two kind of terminate against. And that one is one where you're having one side pushed over the top of the other one. So in 1811 and 1812, there were three magnitude in the mid-7s, one December 16th in 1811, and one in January 23rd, and another one in February 7th. And the February 7th one was when the one in the middle that overrides each other, and that pushed it up about 30 feet. That's the only landscape that we see influenced by faulting in the central part of the United States.
Just to pause there, I'm curious, how do we know what the intensity was back in the early 1800s? Did they have that sort of equipment, or do you base it on accounts of the time? How does that work?
No, there's two different scales. One's magnitude, and that's the amount of energy released. And there is a thing called an intensity scale, and that is what you experienced. So you were talking about that 2008 earthquake and what you experienced at home that morning at 4:30 in the morning. You could go online with the U.S. Geological Survey and fill out this thing, said, did you feel it? And that changes into this intensity scale. And this intensity scale is shown by Roman numerals, and it's a full paragraph description of what is going on around you. Using that scale in newspaper accounts and diaries, you could produce a map of intensity levels around an area. And researchers have developed techniques to take those kind of distances and those maps and back calculate and estimate the magnitudes.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Robert Bauer, who's with the Illinois State Geological Survey, about earthquakes. There was one earlier this month, not the first one this year. A lot of them are felt. They're not that significant in Illinois, certainly not like the ones you see in California or in the Pacific Rim. But there is, it is something that we keep in mind, and there is a possibility of more significant earthquakes sometime. If you want to join our conversation today, the number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. And in fact, let's go to the phones now. Paul is calling from Sycamore on line 4. Paul, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning to your guest. I have a question about the effects that you feel of earthquakes. Excuse me. We had an earthquake up here in February of 2010 that jolted us awake with a sound like extremely loud thunder. And that only even louder than that. And at first I thought a tree had fallen on the house, but then it continued to roar for quite a number of seconds. And then as it faded, I began to feel the side-to-side motion of a typical earthquake. And most of the people I've talked to that have experienced earthquake just simply describe the side-to-side motion. So I was wondering how close you have to be to the actual fault to experience this loud, roaring, thunder-like sound.
Well, that's kind of unusual and hasn't been reported a lot. So there's no relationship between distance and magnitude associated with those kind of situations. People have spoken about hearing noises that are unrelated to the kind of the motion you are feeling. A lot of times you also hear your structure also is creaking and moving. But people do talk about that sound. But people haven't narrowed it down exactly where that's coming from. If you were outside and there was a little stronger earthquake, you typically could see like a wave on the ground, coming passing through you. So people think about maybe, it's associated with sound is associated with some of that movement, because there are the waves going through the soil and through the bedrock at the time of the event reaching you.
I wondered if maybe there was some city or infrastructure or something that was experiencing the stress of this motion, pipes or sewers or something. I don't know. Interesting. Well, Paul, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. We're speaking again with Bob Bauer, who's principal research scientist of engineering geology at the Illinois State Geological Survey, about the earthquake that happened in northern Illinois and just the risk in general of earthquakes in Illinois. Sometimes you do hear talk. We were talking about the New Madrid seismic zone a few minutes ago. You do hear talk of the big one, or, 100-year event, a 200-year event. What is the sort of bigger systemic risk that Illinoisans might face?
The New Madrid events we were just talking about earlier in 1811, 1812, that's not the only time those have occurred. Researchers have determined that three like that have gone off in about the year 1400, 900, 300, 600 BC, and then a bunch of other ones that are dated in BC. So there's a reoccurrence generally to that. We produce maps on how the ground surface will behave with shaking. And then people take those and put them into earthquake loss estimation models, especially the insurance industry. But also people dealing with exercises on a national scale. So maps have been produced associated with things like that. And if we have a repeat of, like a 7.3 or 7.6 in a New Madrid, the maps are produced as to what the amount of intensity shaking would be in your area. So you could look at those maps. So if you look at the maps for that, for our area here, that would be intensity 6. You're not going to expect any kind of damage. You might see some things knocked down off of shelves, but no real brickwork coming down or anything associated with that. If you go to like an intensity 7, which people around that 2008 earthquake down about Mount Carmel experienced, you start to knock bricks off of chimneys, knock brick chimneys off. And they did have three structures that were condemned just because parts of the walls were damaged, or a mobile home was knocked off its foundation and some of the supports spiked up through the floor. Mm. So that's which gives us an idea what to expect. And with that estimate of that, in the southern part of the state of Illinois, for a 7.7 magnitude on New Madrid, there could be about 20,000 structures that would be unusable. They're not necessarily collapsed, but they would be unusable.
Unsafe. Inhabiting, yeah.
By your local codes, they would be right. Placarded with a red placard saying, no access.
We have another caller on the line, only about 2 minutes until we need to take a break, so we need to move quickly. But Tom is calling from Carbondale on line one. Tom, I understand you see a lot of sedentary rocks when you go hiking around Granite City. What are you seeing out there?
Yes, for example, Giant City State Park. The park is named after these long corridors between huge blocks of rock and the bluff that they've separated from. And two explanations have been studied, I think back in the 90s. Somebody decided that these corridors are created from erosion, but I believe without question they were created from movement. The blocks actually moved away, and there's proof of this in Panther's Den because the same phenomena occurs. Huge blocks of rock have separated along straight lines and separated from the bluff. And I wonder if anybody at Illinois USGS has studied Giant City and Panther's Den and have looked at this. And I'd be interested to know that, I believe that not only earthquakes are responsible for the movement of these blocks, but the same earthquake is probably responsible for the movement of the blocks in Giant City and Panther's Den. What do you think about that?
Yeah, just about a minute. Go ahead, Bob.
I remember that one of our folks did look at the Granite City blocks, and people do feel that that they were moved apart by shaking, by earthquakes, because there's a shale layer at the base of those things, so they could slide very nicely on that material.
All right, we're going to take a break. Can you stick around for a couple of minutes? We were only planning to do one segment, but I think we can go a couple minutes into the next if you have a few more minutes, because I do want to ask just sort of big picture, you know, how worried we should be about earthquakes, what we ought to be doing to prepare. I know the state has the great shakeout, sort of a safety drill every year. So we're going to continue this conversation briefly after our break and then move on to talking about Illinois' Rust Belt reputation and what some communities are doing to try and shake the rust off of that reputation. That's all coming up after a short break here on the 21st Show. 800-222-9455 to join us today. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we're talking about earthquakes in Illinois, what you need to know about them, and the probability or possibility of a dangerous earthquake occurring in your area sometime in the future. We're talking about this with Robert Bauer, Principal Research Scientist of Engineering Geology at the Illinois State Geological Survey. If you have questions about earthquakes, we'll spend a few more minutes on this topic. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. I guess, Bob, one of my last big picture questions is, how worried should Illinoisans be about earthquakes? What do we need to be doing to prepare?
Well, the state prepares through their emergency managers along with the geological surveys and having exercises occasionally. Also, the whole central United States had a massive exercise in 2011. All of our geological surveys surrounding the New Madrid Fault Zone are coordinated on these aspects. But you were talking about the shakeout. That's an international kind of exercise every year now in October. And that teaches people that if you're in an earthquake, you duck, what's called duck, cover, and hold. You would duck underneath some furniture. If not, put your hands, you know, duck down on the floor and put your hands over the back of your head and hang on to the furniture so it doesn't slide away from you. And if you're outside, you move back away from power lines and tree underneath trees. So if something gets broken off, it won't come down and hit you. And that's universally taught throughout the United States now.
What if you're driving? I know where they say with tornadoes, you get out of the car, get into the ditch. What should you do if you're driving down the road and you start actually seeing things shaking? Or I don't. Maybe you wouldn't feel it. I don't know how that would that would come across.
If it's large enough, you'd feel the car jiggling through the suspension. And in places, and I know in California, they... if you're under double-decker bridges, they tell people to pull over by a post and stop there. I think people just mostly, you know, probably would not lose control of their car and kind of would continue on with a puzzled look on their face.
No doubt. Bottom line, are there infrastructure things people should be doing? I know in states, you know, California, for example, Washington, they, you know, might have building codes that demand a little more resilience for earthquakes. Is that something people have looked at in southern Illinois?
In the state of Illinois, it's the municipalities have jurisdiction over the building codes. And most of them adopt the latest earthquake parts of those building codes. So people in any state and federal money involved in any kind of structures requires that.
So is there, the last thing I wanted to ask you about is this idea of human-made earthquakes. This is something that's been in the news. We've seen in Oklahoma, I think, related to fracking, oil and gas extraction there. There is fracking in Illinois. Is there a concern about human-made earthquakes here?
Okay, the human-made earthquakes in Oklahoma are for wastewater disposal from the oil and gas operations. When you bring up the oil, you bring up water with it. And in Oklahoma, they bring up a lot of water with their oil. And then they are pumping it down to layers right above the basement or above that crystalline rock in Oklahoma. So the pressures increase, and if you increase the pressures on those fault planes, you're pushing them apart. So you're reducing the friction on those fault planes, and then they could slide. So that's the earthquakes. Here in Illinois, our oil and gas industry does not dispose of their water that deep. They dispose of it back in almost into the formations that they're getting out of, and it's like a mile or 2 miles above that crystalline basement. And there's no interaction there, so we don't see that take place or happen in the state of Illinois.
Interesting. Well, it's been a fascinating discussion. I hope we don't have to have you back after a big one anytime soon. But Bob Bauer with the Illinois State Geological Survey, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
You're welcome.